This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to www.accessradiotaranaki.com.
It's time for real stories from those who make our region and our country their home. Time for Making Yourself at Home, thanks to the support from the Ethnic Communities Development Fund.
Good morning, and welcome to Making Yourself at Home. We are here at the studio on Access Radio 104.4 FM. Access Radio, your voice, your choice. And today we are recording with Maria from Venezuela and myself, Clara, from Spain. And we have a special guest, Shankar, from India. So, Shankar Naituyal, welcome. Is this how you pronounce your name?
Thank you, yes, Shankar. Yeah,
correct. Perfect. Correct. So he's a yoga teacher, a meditation guide, and a real estate professional. He has been teaching since 2007 across India, Southeast Asia, and New Zealand. Shankar blends breath alignment and mindfulness with the wisdom of mantra meditation to help people live more consciously. He is originally from the Himalayas in northern India. And he carries the rich culture, food, and values of his mountain home into everything he does. We are very happy to have you here, Shankar. Welcome to Making Yourself at Home. And yeah, tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Yeah, so that was a good info already. But yeah, so basically I'm from the Himalayan range of northern part of India. And the place is called Uttarkashi. Uttaras means north, and Kashi is the place where all the pilgrimages happen, especially in that part. The land of Shiva, land of monks, land of sadhus, gurus, and all philosophers. Mm. Yeah, so I was born and brought up in that kind of atmosphere, and then yeah, of course. And my traditional schooling happened in that atmosphere. And then later on, I went to the yoga university, and that's Rishikesh, the world capital of yoga. And I finished my master's degree, and then, of course, I want to go for abroad and overseas experiences around. And then I got a chance to went to Vietnam and spend my 7 years plus in Vietnam, and then Thailand a couple of years, and then before moving to the New Zealand I was still teaching around in India as well. And actually my wife, she wants to go to New Zealand for overseas experience in her health and psychology field. So she came here, and then after that I joined her here. And since the first day I came here, we were in Rotorua, Hamilton, and finally in New Plymouth. And since I came in New Plymouth, it's like a place for me. And it's because my place in India, it's similar flora and fauna in New Plymouth. Also the temperature, also the not culture, but not socialism, but yes, it's a good connection between my place to this place. And I got blessed with two beautiful daughter. They born here, and it's now look like second home for me.
Nice.
Well, wonderful career.
And so how long have you been living in New Plymouth now?
Since 2019.
Okay.
I started as a yoga teaching here in New Plymouth in the different yoga spaces. And I run my own classes as well. Yeah, but I used to be a full-time yoga teacher in Southeast Asia and India. But here in New Zealand, there's no full-time of yoga teaching. So it's like a part-time, a few classes in a week. And then I put myself in a different challenge, and that's really good. So I started as a healthcare job. And in the healthcare, I became a physio assistant because the yoga therapy aligned with that kind of position. And since that few years in health, in the retirement villages, in hospitals, and after that, I realized I should do something not different, but it's kind of my parents' work as a real estate and construction. So I thought, okay, let's do something and make my parents a little happy that I'm following their path as well.
Oh, so yeah, that's when you became a real estate agent?
Yes.
How was the process of becoming one? Or did you have any experience before?
I do have experience with my parents back in India. But any career, if you want to start and process, the great process, I believe, it's through your brain. So if you train your brain, if you like something, and if you want to enjoy passionately, then that's the first process, you know? And then second is, of course, there's a professional, the courses. You have to go through the courses. And if you like a certain company, so you go with the company, align yourself, go there, meet with the people, meet to your colleagues, and they'll guide you through because some of them have a great, huge experience in their life. I know one person, when he was 19, he started as a real estate agent, and now he's 41, so he become like super, super intelligent in that field. So if you align your daily routine with those kind of people, so you got that kind of, sense of the business. Yes, and the real estate, you need marketing, you need put yourself out there, talking with the people and meeting with the people. And that's a great process.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can I have a question? Coming back to your yoga classes,
yeah.
Is any different or have you make any adjustment teaching in India and now teaching in New Zealand from the perspective of the participants? Are they different or what are the expectations of New Zealand?
That's a great question. And it's my experience living in that way. So I was teaching in India a few years. So the India is a kind of teaching, is traditional teaching. So you have started your class with asanas, which means the positions, yoga poses. And then you also use the mudras, the gestures. And then you do breath work. And then you do different kind of technique of your pranayama, and then meditation, and then after the savasana. So the yoga class in India is the whole, not just outside perception, outside of India. Yoga means just a physical bending or stretching, right? But yoga means in India as from beginning of your basic fundamental thing, that is your breath, to your awareness, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a wholesome in the one. Then I moved to the Vietnam, Thailand, Southeast Asia, and people just want to bend their body. Usually, they eat something different than us. So they usually eat boiled food, steamed, and then automatically, naturally, their body is quite flexible. So they can touch their nose to their knees in the first class.
Mm.
So that's the first,
that's
challenge
the goal
for me. To how to, and then we design something like we go more further and taught in certain way to give them more challenge. So it's not for them as well, for us, for our brain to how to go more far, how to go more deeper. And then anatomy and physiology comes to play. Then we teach them an alignment way, how to adjust, how to align to your pose in the right way to get that a good result from there. And then when I moved to the New Zealand, people here, they want more relaxed, more easy, more calm, So you understand my situation from the India whole class, from right bottom to the asana, pranayama, mantra, meditation, and then you just focusing on the alignment, just bending, stretching, twisting, balancing, and then here you need to be more relaxed, just like a New Zealand, relax, calm, easy. So there's of course difficulty for me to adjustment, but now as time got over and now it's good now I'm in balance.
And how will you describe your classes for our listeners? What type of yoga do you teach?
So
I am asking because I am a Kundalini yoga teacher.
Good.
So some people always ask me, like, okay, what's the difference between Hatha,
yeah,
Vinyasa, Kundalini,
yeah,
Yin? So how will you describe
so
the way you teach?
According to the yogic system, the Hatha yoga, the base core of the every kind of yoga. So the Kundalini yoga as well is a part of Hatha yoga. Okay? Ashtanga yoga is the part of Hatha yoga. What I teach according to the audience, so I teach the basic traditional Hatha yoga, which is we include the different variation of the yoga positions and a little bit pranayama, which means breath work, and then meditation, a short part of meditation. And then other classes like people call that vinyasa flow, we call that the flow as well, but yeah, and with rhythmic with your breath. So align your breath, mind and body in the same structure. And then I also teach Ashtanga yoga, the same, the group, setting group of the asanas and the higher, the difficult posture, from both basic to the difficult posture. And then I teach meditation classes.
Mm-hmm.
So which is, again, there's 112 method of meditations. So I try to go with the simple one through the breath work, through the your focusing, guided meditation, and that way.
Okay, yeah,
yeah.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Where can our listeners find you teaching? Where do you teach now? If they want to explore your classes.
I teach in Tasman Club.
Okay.
A couple of classes. I also teach in Plex Fitness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'm going to run other of my classes by myself as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
So I'm looking at a good, nice place for meditations where I can start again my meditation classes.
Okay.
For people. And it will be going to be cohort donation based. So I believe yoga gave me a lot in my life. So I want to give it back. And through the community, through the people, so who want to uplift their spiritual journey, spiritual awareness, so they can contact me or just...
Yeah, we will put your details when we share the episode. So
sure.
Yeah, we will put your details and then people can reach out.
Awesome.
If they want to have classes with you. Great. And something I am always curious when I talk with other teachers, or other people in general, because you don't need to have to be a yoga teacher to have your personal practice.
Yeah.
How is your personal practice like for you? Like, what do you do? Is there something you do every day? And what is it? And you can also share, Maria, if you have a personal
yeah.
practice afterwards.
Yeah, great question again. Yeah, so yoga teacher is just a word, you know. So first, we are the yoga practitioners. So wherever you go, you can say you're a yoga teacher, but if you are not practicing, you are not. Some sort of thing, doesn't matter, you are doing the asanas every day, but that's the beauty of yoga. You can do anything, such as you're doing asana, okay, that's a one part. You're doing meditation, that's a one part. You're just doing breath work, that's a one part. You're just being aware of something. Just looking at flower and being very much awareful of that, or looking the webs of oceans or the stars at night, that's also a part of the meditation and yoga. So you can do anything. So it's not for or you just read the yoga books. Go for Patanjali Yoga Sutra. There's a beautiful book, Hatha Yoga book. Bhagavad Gita, all the commentaries you read about the big personalities bio, and about the monks, about the people, or talk to the people awarenessly. If you have awareness and you're talking to them and feel what you're getting from them, what beauty you are getting from them, you're learning. So yoga is all about learning. So my practice is not fixed. So I sometimes read, sometimes do asana, sometimes do meditation, sometimes talk to you, like you beautiful people. So that's a yoga as well.
I have a question. Do you think yoga has helped you to integrate to New Zealand more easily, or?
I'm settling in, you mean, no?
Yeah, I'm sorry?
In settling in, how we have settled in a new place.
Integrate to the new place, to adapt to, it's always a challenge to come to a new place, to live in there. Do you think I help you with that?
As I think I understand your question, like you mean like yoga, being a yoga practitioner, is that settle my mind to a new place?
Yes, to a new
is
place,
that a question?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course it does, you know, when you feel like alone, when you feel, oh, where I am, what I'm doing, no culture, no society, no friends, no relatives. So then what do? Just everywhere you can do that, being within yourself. So when you're being within yourself, means you are everywhere or you are nowhere. So when I started my yoga, so I was in India, but I find a small place, small room, nobody can interrupt me, I do my meditation and being by myself. I can do that everywhere in this world. So means yoga can align you and make you settle down with your body, mind, breath, emotions, you know, everywhere. But yeah, of course, we are human. We can't say we are, you know, perfect. Of course, our memory, we have a strong memories when we grow, especially with a specific space and place. So the memory bring you back on those days where you happily enjoyed your childhood with friends and family, and yeah, of course. But yeah, when you grow your awareness, then you are settled with your emotions.
Yeah, I think like from me talking about yoga with other people, sometimes people have the idea that yoga is just like touching your toes or bending. But that you have to be flexible, which I tell you, like, I am not a very flexible person and I can still, like, practice yoga. But it's more like the things that you learn that then you can practice off the mat. So, yeah, I remember talking with another friend that she's also a practitioner, and it's like we talk about, like, yoga off the mat. So how do you get the learnings and you apply them in everyday situations, everyday lives, like moving to a new place, for example?
No, that's what I'm saying, you know, that's what I said earlier, because if you can't do your asanas every day, so there's a lot of aspect of yoga. In the yoga, you also have a charity. You help someone, that's one kind of yoga as well. So the yoga is, that's why if you go to the Vedic scripture, so there's a different four kind of special yoga. There's a karma yoga, when you're doing karma, your actions. There's a jnana yoga, through the knowledge, you're giving knowledge or receiving knowledge. There's a bhakti yoga, devotion, you're devoting yourself in any kind of actions, any kind of events. Or you're just cooking, that's a bhakti yoga as well. Cooking for someone is a really great. Yeah, bhakti yoga, and then ashtanga yoga, like our asanas, and really go deeper and reading the scriptures. And from being here, you can talk to your guru, if you have a guru, or a guru's friend or someone to talk. If you have questions, ask them, and you go in your meditation and realize that. So you can do many aspects, you know, don't bound ourselves in just, oh, if we have a mat and when we just doing some round of sun salutation, now you have done yoga.
Yeah.
Now that's just a tiny part of yoga system.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
Yeah.
And Maria, do you have any daily practice that helps you to keep healthy?
I think that part is my Zumba classes.
Nice.
That I also do in the Tasman Club, but I'm not a teacher. I'm just a participant. Yeah, and that's part of my daily things. Dancing is, is quite important.
Great. And also I want to add with yoga, because yoga have a one sister subject that's called Ayurveda. So Ayurveda is like kind of food habits and going through the natural way to take care of your body. So if you're just focusing on your body, you will amaze how focused you are. Just write it down, your daily intake from morning to night. So you check how much protein you take, how much fiber you take, how much, you know, carbs you take, and check it the whole night. Are you balanced? Are you systematic for the day? So that's also giving you that kind of awareness of your body. And if someone would ask you, you're easy to give them an answer in that way, you know, you're balancing your diet in that way. So yoga and Ayurveda go along with each other.
Mm-hmm. And I'm curious to ask you something about what you think about yoga, especially in New Zealand. I don't know if other places that you have been teaching, is very common, more a female practice. So when I teach, most of my students are women, or when I go to other classes. What are your thoughts about that? Because originally it was more men that were practicing yoga.
No, if you go to the back in the scriptures, the yoga began with the discussion, and we are doing discussion, that's a great thing. So yoga began with a discussion between Shiva and Shakti. So Shiva is a male energy and Shakti is a woman energy, the feminine energy. They have a discussion. So they both create 112 method of yoga system. And they believe when you completed that 112, then there's something, two more methods which is comes after that. So nowadays, now people have especially men have that kind of perception outside of India, not in India. Mm-hmm. India, every man, woman, if they want to do, they do yoga practices. They don't have a kind of, mentality of they just want to show the body, or, you know, they do yoga as well. If someone go to the gym, they also do the yoga. Even if they don't do the asana part, but they do the meditation part. Or some part. Or they go to the conferences or events or the commentary. If someone is giving commentary on Bhagavad Gita or other kind of scriptures, they also join that part.
Yeah.
Yeah. But outside, especially the Western world, the men have that attitude like they want to show up, and then the yoga is for the female thing.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's changed a lot. I have seen that change a lot. So men also coming in my class as well, and they find it really great, because when they balance their the gym and then yoga, so they feel really great, you know. But it's still they are less. So because it should done from the beginning, from the early age, then they don't feel the difficulty. But if someone just doing gymming thing and running for 50 years and suddenly they come to yoga, they feel a bit hard. But now it's recommendation is that if someone just coming along at the early age, it's a good balance of body, mind, and for the life as well.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit curious, but any classes are adapted for the age? Like you have a senior class for seniors or class for youngest people?
Yeah. So the again, this age thing comes when someone is not doing from early age. So if someone is doing yoga from when they are like 20s and 30s, they can do the same thing when they are become a 90-year-old. Yeah, so it doesn't matter. But if someone is starting when they are 60, of course, then they should go with the beginning classes. You know, they can't just go and put their head down and toe up. That's difficult for them. But if someone also, they don't want to, their body not allow, they want, but their body not allow them to do certain positions, so they can come to the chair, they sit down. That's what we call have a chair yoga as well. So sit down on the chair. It's a chair, it's just a prop, not a chair yoga, but just a helping and taking support from the props to do certain kind of posture and breathing. So I believe when you are young, do the karma yoga. When you are little age, do the jnana yoga, go with your logic. And then when you are getting more older, go with bhakti yoga, you know. So combine these all kind of yoga in your life. And of course, if you are a little old, then go for beginning classes.
So I guess there's something for everyone.
Yeah.
If you have the desire to
sure.
to practice, there will be something for you. And coming back to culture and like moving here to New Zealand, we are always like interesting to see how our guests find that movement and if there was like any culture shock or what were the things that surprised you when you moved to New Zealand at the very beginning?
Being from India, we have a diverse country and lots of events, language, you know, culture, even the dress sense is different. So when you're coming in the place where you go to one city to another city, and everything look like same. So it's just like, where I'm going? I'm just not going anywhere. Yeah, of course the big city is different, like Auckland, Wellington, Christchurch, they're different. Yeah, but mainly the things are same. So yeah, of course it's given me first when I came to Rotorua, and I remember that day, it was 4 o'clock, 4:30, and then I was preparing myself, okay, I'm just going outside, and it was winter, and I took my wife and we go outside. I was like, and she knew because she was here before me, and she was like, everything is closed. I said, what? No, I don't really, because it is, for us, 4 o'clock, it's not closing, it's opening time, you know?
Yeah.
And I go, and it was quiet. No one there. In India, in the street, you still can find a cow and dogs sometimes, in a good way. But here, nobody. So it was a big shock for me, you know? Because when I was in Southeast Asia and Vietnam and Thailand, in India, the same. When we go outside, we have night markets. We have a food, we have a tea seller, we have a, you know, like the snacks sellers, you know, a different season and we have a difference of snacks. So it's like a shock for me. So that's a big shock. But now it is what it is.
Yes. Well, I guess some things it's good to... I like to see it like we are now living in a different country from where we are originally, so it's good to adjust to the new traditions, but in some way keep the ones from your original culture that are true to you or that are close to your heart.
Yeah.
So I don't know, what traditions do you keep with your family so that to keep like your home country close, even if you live in New Zealand?
Yeah, we also have a lots of events going on, you know. We celebrate Diwali, we celebrate Holi, we celebrate our small culture from the different part of the country. So we celebrate them, but of course not as we used to do there, a whole day in the same day. So we choose here in the weekend only, because all people can come together and do whatever they want to, but not in the same day. Let's say Shivaratri, the Ratri, we celebrate for Shiva for as a spiritual awareness practices. So we do that whole night, but here we have to use for either Saturday or Sunday to let the other people come in and celebrate together for a few hours, that's it. But one other thing I'm telling you, what I learned from from this late night thing from other country, because we eat late and we sleep late. But here in New Zealand, the culture or this atmosphere push you to eat early and sleep early. That's good for you. And that's why I'm saying it's similar to my hometown back in India in mountain. So my house in the mountain, so we, by the 8 o'clock, everything is shut. We eat, we feed kids, we feed the cows and buffaloes, whatever, and then we sleep, and early morning we wake up early before the birds chirping.
Mm-hmm. So you go with nature.
And now same is happening here, because my childhood and now my 40s is similar now. But between that, I went to the different country and enjoy that culture as well. And in the big city, metro city in India as well. So late night thing and eating late, sleeping late. But I believe this short of time frame and this short of timetable is really good for you if you're looking a good health, you know, and good for kids. You know, you're sleeping with kids and walking with them and then you're spending more time with them. So my childhood and my 40s are similar now.
Listen, on Saturday was in a meeting with some Latin American friends, and a lady from India to join us, and she was talking about language in India.
Yeah.
For example, in my home country, we speak the same as Clara because she's from Spain, was conquered by Spain, and we speak Spanish. It's the only thing we speak. Probably English as a second language.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about your language. Yeah.
So they said that, I'm not 100% sure, but yes, they said that there's a 1,600 languages in India.
Wow, 1,600?
It's included all dialogues as well.
Yeah.
So in my place, we speak Hindi. We speak my local language, Garhwali. We speak Kumaoni. We speak Jonsari. And then, Sanskrit from scriptures as well. And I learned Sanskrit from school as well. And then English. And then the neighbor straight language like Punjabi, Gujarati, Marathi, Bhojpuri, so on language. So, and the good thing is that here in New Zealand, I went to the school with my daughter on first day, and the teacher, I was telling the teacher, because our intention to teach her our own language. So I went to the school and tell, she don't understand English a lot, because we speak our language, because we believe when you speaking with the kids when they are young, so they can adapt, they can understand the language. When they once grown, they don't want to bother and they don't want to learn this language, so we try. And I amazed, he said, no, please keep talking to her with your own language, teach her, it's good for her brain. So I really appreciate that. And then from that day, I just keep telling them lots of things and teaching them my own language as well. So yeah, language is a great thing.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Yeah, I think we are very happy that we can speak more than one language.
Yeah.
Sometimes you take that for granted, but then we realize that we are lucky that we can be talking here like between us in English, but then we also have our mother language, which is different. It's beautiful, I think. I feel lucky that we.
And I believe lots of people they want to do the same way, and people don't have the opportunity. So lots of people I met here in the local people as well, they want, you're lucky, but we really want to do that, but we didn't get opportunity. So people love that those kind of stuff.
We are coming towards the end of the show, but not yet. There's still many things I was curious about that I don't think we will have time to ask you today, but perhaps you can come another time in the future. We often close our show asking our guest if someone was to move to New Zealand, What will you recommend them to do or not to do? What will be your tips for someone moving to a new city, a new country?
Yes, this is a great question as well. But first of all, it depends from where you are coming from, which country you are coming from. And second, what education you are holding, and what is your goal, what do you want? Yeah. And another thing is that before coming to the New Zealand, talk to your own people. And especially, let's say example, if you want to come in for teaching in New Zealand, yeah. So talk to someone who already in the field. Get all the knowledge, all the certainty, and what worse you can do when you can't find the job. So if you're ready for that, if you're prepared for that, that make you too easy living in New Zealand. Otherwise, when you come here, cultural shock, social shock, job shock, money shock,
all these shocks at once.
Yeah, so you should come. It's a beautiful country. Come, live here, grow with the people, give to the community. So if you have that kind of mindset, like you're going there and you're growing, you want to grow other people as well with you, so New Zealand for you. But yeah, of course, do your homework really, really deeply.
Yeah, I think that's very wise. Yeah, I think that will make people's life easier.
Yeah.
Yeah, do you agree, Maria?
Yeah, 100%, definitely. Yeah, good advice. Yeah, I think.
Yeah. So you're not just like coming, or I just want to go there. Let's go take the parents' money and let's go to New Zealand. And then you just here after a few years later, you just want to go back. Of course, you have a good memories and culture back in your country. Like us, I just want to, you know, all the time go to India and come back and go to India. Yeah, but yeah. The good research is really great.
Yeah, information is always, having the knowledge is always giving you like power to act in one way or another.
Sure. Yeah. And it's easy to get the information nowadays. Mm. Most, I believe 70 to 80% information people can get from the Google, from the Facebook, from the YouTube. A lot of people there, they are sharing their knowledge and experience nowadays. But yes, more than that, top of that, talk to your own people who are in the same field, for a longer period of time in the same city and in the same country.
Yeah, awesome. Mm. Beautiful. Thank you so much for joining us today, Shankar. Yeah,
thank you so much, Clara and Maria. It was nice to talk to you. I feel like I'm somewhere in India talking to the people.
Oh, really? Oh.
No, because you got the same experience when you came over here. So we have a mutual, you know, that kind of understanding.
Yeah, we all made the move to this country, although
also
from
very,
different
very,
parts.
We should have lots of gratitude towards this land of peace. This is not just a piece of land, but this is like kind of helping us to grow, helping us to make ourselves settled in this place. And thank you for all the community, thank you for the people, and thank you to the Almighty.
Yeah.
thank you very much, everyone. Yeah.
Thank you, Maria, for helping me to host today. It was really nice to have you here. I hope you enjoyed and you might come and support us hosting another time in the future.
Definitely. I really enjoyed your conversation. Yeah,
great.
It was great.
Thank you
to
for
know.
Your questions, insightful questions.
Okay.
Thank you, Clara. Thank you both.
That was us for today. So wishing our listeners a beautiful day, and see you next Monday at Making Yourself at Home on Access Radio. See ya.
Thanks for listening to this episode. For more information and others just like this, head along to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.